UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to UAB Medcast. I'm Melanie Cole. Today we're discussing chronic kidney disease. Joining me is Dr. Claire Lias. She's a nephrologist and an assistant professor at UAB Medicine. Dr. Lias, thank you so much for joining us today. Tell us about the current state of kidney disease. What are you seeing in the trends?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. So in our current state, we are seeing that the prevalence and incidence of chronic kidney disease is expanding. One out of 10 Americans adults have chronic kidney disease, and globally, it is increasing in prevalence, and it's the fifth most common cause of life loss globally that is projected to start as early as 2020. So in the next 20 years, we can expect that this may become the fifth most common cause of years of life lost.
Wow. Those are some interesting statistics. And why is it that so many people don't realize that they have kidney disease until it shows symptoms? Why is it so difficult to diagnose in its early stages?
So that is an interesting question. So it turns out that most people with kidney disease actually are asymptomatic. So they have no symptoms at all and therefore do not seek care. We see this particularly in populations where minorities have a lack of access to care, and it often goes undiagnosed because these people are asymptomatic. So the fact that the symptom burden is so low, especially early on, leads to a delay in diagnosis. And also there are a high prevalence also in ethnic populations, minority populations, of hypertension and diabetes. And both of these are leading causes for chronic kidney disease as people age.
Is there a screening test for kidney function? And when would you advise someone to test for, whether it's creatinine or GFR, or is there a standardized screening test?
So actually there is. So last month, in March of 2020, is World Kidney Day. So every second Thursday in March is World Kidney Day, and we advocate for screening. And the way that screening is done is through blood tests and urine tests. So people who are at increased risk of kidney disease, and we tell our patients all the time, those are people with high blood pressure and diabetes, we recommend that you get a blood test to look for creatinine. And that creatinine value then allows us to calculate what someone's GFR is. And that's the percent function or the glomerular filtration rate by which your kidneys are functioning. The urine test that we look at looks for both blood and protein in the urine. And those can also be telltale signs that someone has chronic kidney disease because they have proteinuria and hematuria. When we notice that creatinine values are elevated, and if someone has proteinuria and hematuria, we recommend, at least for our primary care colleagues, that those patients are referred to a nephrologist.
So then once you've diagnosed it, how is it staged? And why is staging such an important factor when you're looking at first line of defense and treatment options?
So great question. Staging is important because that we know that people with a lower stage of kidney disease have a decreased risk of mortality and poor outcomes. And staging is also important because it helps us prepare patients in the event that their kidney disease is progressing, that we can provide them with other options for treatment, whether that be dialysis or renal transplantation. So the stagings are five, and it's based upon GFR. So stage three is our most common stage, and it deals with people who have a GFR between 60 and 30. people who have a GFR between 60 and 90, those patients are considered to be stage 2 and are typically mild when we classify them in terms of chronic kidney disease. People with more advanced kidney disease, we say that they are stage 4. That means that their GFR is less than 30, but is not less than 15. So it's between 15 and 29. And people who are stage 5 have a GFR that's less than 15. And those are the people that we say are really advanced. And those are the people who we identify as needing to either start preparing for dialysis or need to have referrals made for renal transplantation.
So then speak about medical management. And while you're doing that, and as we're talking about the earlier stages before we get into dialysis and transplant, what about dietary modifications? And what's very important, because other healthcare providers are working with these patients, they're working with them for their well visits, and nutrition, diet, medications for blood pressure, diabetes. Speak about this whole comprehensive picture of treatment before we get to dialysis and transplant.
Right. So what we do to prevent progression of kidney disease is multifactorial. So one, if someone has high blood pressure, hypertension, we focus on keeping their blood pressure under control. We aim for a blood pressure in most cases less than 140 over 90. And in some people, less than 130 over 80. We also advocate that people keep their blood sugar under control and to either follow with their primary care physician or endocrinologist to have good diabetes management. The other thing that we recommend is that for patients who have hypertension or proteinuria, particularly if their proteinuria is from diabetes, for instance, that they're put on medications called an ACE inhibitor or an ARB. These medicines have been shown to decrease mortality and slow the progression of chronic kidney disease, particularly as it relates to diabetes. The other things that we recommend are that people adhere to a low sodium diet. Sodium in the diet we know can lead to worsening of blood pressure, as well as it can contribute to swelling. And so we say that we would like for people to have a sodium in their diet of less than 2 grams. We also advocate that people have adequate fluid intake that keeps in line with their other health conditions, whether that be heart disease or, you know, any other comorbid conditions. And then we advocate that people avoid non-steroidals. These are something that are very common, particularly, you know, over the counter at our pharmacy. So we know that people who take non-steroidals on a regular basis, whether that be ibuprofen, naproxen, these medications taken daily and regularly over a long period of time can lead to worsening of kidney function. And lastly, I would mention that we would, you know, ask that people, you know, try to get a diet that's full of lots of fruits and vegetables. These diets that we say, you know, sort of like a Mediterranean diet, you know, good fats that's seen in like fish, as well as high in fruits and vegetables, can slow the progression of kidney disease as well.
That's really great information. So as this progresses, when does dialysis become that discussion? And just tell us a little bit about patient criteria for dialysis.
Right. So as kidney disease progresses, particularly for those who have a GFR of less than 15, we start thinking about dialysis. You know, obviously, our main goal is to have people get a kidney transplant because the outcomes for long-term survival are much better for people who get a transplant as to those compared to those who stay on dialysis. We go through typically in our nephrology department education about the different types of dialysis modalities, whether that be hemodialysis or peritoneal dialysis. And based on patient preferences and their support systems at home, as well as other comorbid conditions, then we sit down and come up with a treatment plan as to whether or not we feel that hemodialysis would be the best dialysis modality therapy versus peritoneal dialysis.
So as we wrap up, Dr. Liason, it's such great information. Tell other providers what you'd like them to know about when you feel it's important that they refer to a nephrologist if they have a patient with chronic kidney disease.
So absolutely. So we know that early referral is the best in terms of preventing progression of kidney disease. So we would ask that providers refer their patients to nephrology, especially in patients who have CKD stage 3. So anyone with a GFR that's less than 60. Also, please refer your patients to nephrology if you notice any hematuria, or which is blood in the urine, or proteinuria, or protein in the urine. And certainly if there are other testing that has gone on, you know, imaging tests, whether it's CAT scans or ultrasounds, and we see that there are some structural abnormalities related to the kidneys, please refer those patients as well. And finally, if patients have difficult to control high blood pressure, we also help manage that. And so we would appreciate referrals to nephrology for people who have difficult to manage hypertension.
Really important information. Thank you so much, Dr. Lias, for joining us today. A community physician can refer their patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. And that concludes this episode of UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, please visit our website at uabmedicine.org/physician. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other UAB podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.